Volunteer State. It's time to join the nation with Chris Lowe of ESPN.com and Austin Price of Rivals and FallQuest.com. Presented by Mortgage Investors Group. Breaking news and giving expert analysis. For the next hour, Chris and Austin will take your calls on college athletics around the SEC and the nation. College football, basketball, special guests, recruiting, and more. The nation. Hosted on location by Texas Roadhouse.
Sponsored by Mortgage Investors Group. Celebrating 30 years and the number one lender in the state of Tennessee. Learn more at MIGOnline.com. By Texas Roadhouse, your home for legendary food and legendary service. 12 area East Tennessee restaurants. By Marathon. Want to get a full tank of freedom? Stop by your neighborhood Marathon station. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. By Blue Bunny Ice Cream, available in Neyland Stadium and Thompson Bowling Arena. By Tennessee LASIK Associates, proud supporter of the Tennessee Volunteers. See the difference with Tennessee LASIK. And by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Coors Light, made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Distributed across the Volunteer State by Cherokee Distributing. The Nation is also brought to you by...
We hope it's been a great weekend, a great Sunday afternoon for everybody out there across the great state of Tennessee or wherever you might be listening to us. This is The Nation, and I'm Chris Lowe, and I'm back with my original partner, getting the band back together, Mr. Brent Hubbs, as we're at the Alcoa Texas Roadhouse tonight. Brent, it's great to be with you. Great to be here with all the good folks here at Texas Roadhouse. Love for you to come by and talk a little basketball, football, eat a steak, baked chicken, whatever you like, but they got it all here at the Texas Roadhouse. As we spend every Sunday evening with you, most Sunday evenings, at least through the fall and winter months. Brent, tough loss for the basketball Vols yesterday on the road. As you were pointing out just before we came on the show, that was one, if you look at Tennessee's schedule the rest of the way, if they're going to get to a winning record in the SEC, boy, that's a tough one to lose. Not because South Carolina's been playing good basketball and they've been a hot team, but you had a chance on the road. You were leading by five or six inside, 5 minutes to play, and you just couldn't make. I think Rick Barnes said it, and he's right. You really needed one more play on offense to win that game, and you certainly can't miss as many free throws as Tennessee did on the road and expect to win a game like that.
No, you can't, and I think the thing that was frustrating is, the last 3:40 of that game, they really didn't do anything. No. After Vescovi throws it away, and then steals the ball and kind of bats it forward to Fulkerson, and he missed the layup out of it, which was a broken play. They really did nothing offensively. No. And trying to, you know, and maybe it's inexperience or whatever the case may be, trying to manage the shot clock, you know, put the clock in your favor and bleed it down. Chris, they just couldn't get a look. They couldn't get a look that was worthy. Now, there's a lot of debate, and rightfully so, on the charge call against Fulkerson. Should that have been a charge? Should that have been a block? Should that have been a no call? All of those are fair questions. And you could, if they don't blow the whistle there, I get it, okay? Do I think the South Carolina defender started falling early? Yeah, I do. I think he did. So technically there's a little bit of a flop there. My leaning to that would have been more block, no call, than charge. But Rick Barton said it afterwards, it was a charge. But that came late in the clock. He was going to have a hard time getting the shot off anyway.
Shot got blocked, too, didn't it?
They had a possession there where they throw the ball into Bowden, and Vescovi can't get free to come get the basketball. And they just could not generate anything on offense in the half court down the stretch.
The possession before that was the one I thought was really bad, the offensive possession before that. I mean, and you're right.
They looked
disjointed. You know. They just, you know, didn't have that sort of aggressive look that you want a team. Because really, Tennessee, when you go into the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game and you're up 5 or 6, you know, you want to get stuff going to the basket.
Right.
Now, I don't know, with the way they shot free throws yesterday, that was going to be a good thing because they missed so many free throws. But you still want to get you want to have offensive possessions where you're taking the ball in to the paint and trying to get something going to the basket. Tennessee loses the basketball game. Again, a tough loss, especially if you're trying to find nine conference wins and get to a winning record in the league. That's one when you look at the rest of Tennessee's schedule, and you pointed this out as we were coming into the show.
You got Vanderbilt. That's a must-win at home. You got to take care of business there. Florida at home. You got to win that basketball game. Need to win the road game against Arkansas, who's struggling. And then you're talking about Kentucky on the road, which, look, I mean, winning in Rupp Arena, Tennessee's done that more than anybody, but nobody goes in there and wins very often. And then you've got Auburn twice. So, you know, it's a tough close for Tennessee. I think the team that's going to be really interesting to watch in the league, and the league's not very good. I don't know how else to say it. I'm not trying
There's
to be
just a
harsh.
Lot of teams that are the same.
Yeah, I just don't see this league being very deep. But you look at South Carolina and their surge, they're right there with Mississippi State. They've got Mississippi State left twice on their schedule. They've got Alabama. They've got some games. They've got LSU at home. They've got some games where they can help themselves in terms of racking up wins. Is it enough to get in the tournament? I don't know. But, you know, they have a chance to be one of those teams that everybody's talking about in their last 10. But, you know, going back to Tennessee's possession, I see this in college basketball all the time. Teams trying to milk the clock wait too long to get into anything. You know what I mean? You look at the shot clock and where it's at now. Think about when a team dribbles across half court in the middle part of the game where they're just playing normally. You know, they're still taking shots inside 10 seconds on the shot clock a lot of times. So the idea that you're going to dribble across the timeline and you're going to stand there and dribble the ball for 10 seconds or 12 seconds before you get into anything, you just end up with a bad shot more than often. And I get you don't want to go fast. You don't want to go dribble down, take a shot, one pass, take a shot. But you got to get into offense quicker than what teams get into offense there.
Especially when you don't have an Admiral Schofield who can get you something quick or a Grant Williams.
Absolutely.
You can dump it down in and he's and inside 15, 17 feet, you know, he's going to get you some kind of good look.
Or a Lamonte Turner who can beat somebody off the dribble and get to the free
and
throw line.
And make tough twos.
You know, and get to the free throw line.
They really miss his ability to get in with how strong Lamonte was and make tough twos and generate fouls and get to the free throw line.
Well, and you're playing a team that plays great physical defense, okay? That's how they play. Generally, officiating is going to let it go down the stretch. They don't want to be the whistle. They don't want to be the difference maker in the game. So, yeah, you call 58 fouls in the game, but what are the chances you're going to get one in the last 90 seconds, 2 minutes of the game? Probably not real good. And so I just think in general in college basketball, you see a lot of teams – ending up with that step back three as the shot clocks expire, and they don't get anything. You go back and look at the end of the first half for Tennessee. It's a great possession of basketball. They get Fulkerson right at the buzzer there, but they ran some stuff. You know what I mean? It wasn't stand around and wait, you know, for 10 or 12 seconds. Oh, well, we better go. We're late. They ran something, and they managed the clock very well at the end.
You know, I'm sitting there watching that game last night, and I know it's hit fans most of the year, but just how different this team is in a year. You know, your five of your best players are gone. There's no Grant. There's no Admiral. There's no Jordan Bone. There's no Kyle Alexander. There's no Lamonte Turner. It's just a completely different basketball team. And that's not an excuse because here we are pretty late in the year. But, you know, a year later, it's just a reminder that in today's college basketball, it can change pretty quickly. The Nation is presented across the state of Tennessee each week by our friends at Mortgage Investors Group, celebrating their 30th anniversary serving Tennesseans. Have you heard of MIG's Lock, Shop, and Save program? You can lock in your rate for 90 days while you shop for a home, and once you find that one, you get the lowest rate available. Mortgage Investors Group Lock, Shop, and Save program is available for conventional FHA and VA loan types. No contract is required, no upfront fees, and you can switch to any other program once your property is identified. Call us for your worry-free solution, Lock, Shop, and Save today. 100% financing is possible to take you from renting to owning. Call our friends at Mortgage Investors Group to see if you qualify based on borrower qualification. Mortgage Investors Group is committed to helping Tennesseans fulfill their dreams of home ownership. Their mortgage experts will find and they'll structure the mortgage that best fits your needs and achieves your goals. Mortgage Investors Group wants to be your home lender. Are you buying a new home? Do you need to lower your home loan payment? Maybe just pull out some cash out of the equity in your home. Let Mortgage Investors Group work for you. So go to MIGOnline.com for the office nearest you, Equal Housing Lender, license 109-111-1091-11. Brent Kelly, Harper's Lady Vols losing a tough one today at home to Texas A&M, a game that hanging about, really a game that they had every chance to win, and they just couldn't finish it.
Well, and it's been a tough 2 weeks, you know, that you knew that schedule was going to be really tough when you look at South Carolina, Mississippi State. How do you respond from that week? Come back, you lose on the road at LSU, and then today at home, a difficult loss against Texas A&M. And just, again, critical turnovers, just mental mistakes. I mean, that game's a three-point game at the end of the third quarter. Lady Vols have the basketball. They're going to bleed the clock, okay, hold for the last possession. And at worst-case scenario, you're sitting there going, all right, this team's going to be down three going into the fourth quarter with a chance to win at home with a great crowd. I think they had about 13,000 there today, really nice crowd at home. They're going to be into it. And then, you know, your point guard creates a turnover on a pass that was telegraphed out to a wing player that was intercepted. And then compounded the mistake by fouling at the rim and what ended up being a three-point play for Texas A&M. So now you got a potential 5 or 6 point swing in that game. Instead of being, at worst case, down three going into the fourth quarter, you're down six. And you're in a two-possession game, and you were trying to play catch-up, and they couldn't make a couple of critical plays and a couple of critical stops. And knowing Coach Harper and talking to her throughout the season as much as I have, that's going to be a tough tape session for that team to watch, because they were out-muscled on the boards, and they were the biggest team, the tallest team in the SEC, and they got pushed around on the glass and gave up way too many second-chance opportunities, way too many offensive rebounds, and I know that'll be a huge point of emphasis and a real disappointment for Coach Harper and her staff that happened today in what was a critical game for this team. And I think they're right now projected about a 10 seed in the NCAA tournament. Chris, you can't fall apart down the stretch here. You got to finish your business, because you're not a lock for anything at this point in time. So starting to get a little pressure mounted on them. How do they react to that? It's going to be interesting to see with this team over the next week and a half, 2 weeks with games left to play.
Well, Tony Vitello's Tennessee baseball team opened the season this week against Western Illinois. Granted, a team that they probably ought to dominate, and boy, they did dominate. They sweep the series, winning today 23-4. Three touchdowns, and I think they got a safety late in that game. Boy, Jackson Leith in his debut for Tennessee, pitching debut for Tennessee, striking out 12 batters, and a good way to open the season. Now Tennessee comes back home on Tuesday to play Charlotte, and then it gets a little bit more serious for the Tony Vitello's baseball balls. But this is a team, really strong pitching staff. They got some depth, a lot of different arms, and I think you watch baseball long enough, certainly in the SEC, and you get into tournament play, which after getting there last year for the first time since 2005, the NCAA tournament, I can promise you this team absolutely expects to be back there. You better have pitching depth if you're going to have a chance in any tournament situation, and this team does.
Now, they do. Great quote, I thought, from Coach Vitello this week, talking about his pitching staff and everything, and he said, you know what? What I've learned in talking to people in college baseball and being a part of college baseball for as long as I have, you don't pigeonhole anybody into anything. You know, if you need an out in the eighth inning or the seventh inning and you want to go to your closer, you go to your closer. It's not like Major League Baseball where you play 162 games and everybody, this is your middle reliever, this is your closer, this is where you are. This is college baseball, and every weekend game counts. Every weekend matters, particularly in the SEC when you're trying to get to Hoover in the SEC tournament and regional play. You do whatever it takes to win that game, and I think that's one of the beauties of this pitching staff, is they can do things in a variety of places. I think the question is going to be, Chris, on a night where they don't have it on the mound, can they score enough runs and outscore somebody in league play? And win some games, because, look, your Friday night guy probably going to have you in a 2-1 game, okay? That's what you're hoping, because that's how Friday night games go in the SEC. But what happens when you get to Saturday and a guy doesn't have it, and you have to go to the pen early, and suddenly you get it to Sunday and you're trying to piecemeal your pitching staff with multiple arms? Can you outscore somebody? They couldn't enough last year, probably. if they can get enough hitting this year to improve that, I think this is going to be a really fun baseball team to watch in a fun season. A lot of confidence gained from the way they hit the ball this weekend, but as you said, a week from now, going to get much tougher when they go to Texas and play the collection of teams that are going to be down there.
Yeah, can they beat Florida in a 12-10 game?
Right.
You know, can they beat a Georgia, in an 11-8
Because
game?
You know as well as I do, you're going to be in some of those games. That's just part of it.
Yeah, so after opening the season with a 3-0 win over Western Illinois, Tennessee, the last two games against Western Illinois scored a total of 42 runs. Gosh, that's more than Tennessee scored football a couple of some of the lean years. But winning 19-0 on Saturday, 23-4 today. They play Charlotte, Brent, at Lindsey Nelson Stadium on Tuesday. That's a 4 o'clock game. And then they go out to Texas in the Round Rock Classic starting Friday. They play Texas Tech on Friday, then Houston on Saturday, and then Stanford on Sunday. So you get a lot better feel for just what you're talking about, the bats and where they are offensively. A lot of new faces on this team, brought in a lot of, but some teams, some staples too from last year, but a lot of new faces, both hitting and pitching. And you're right, this was a fun team to watch play last year, and I think it's going to be a fun team to watch play this
year. Well, and I love the tournament play that he's got them into early in the year. Get that test out there. You know what I mean, Chris? Don't bankroll 14 wins and not know who you are and not know what you're about. So when you face your first rounds of adversity, you're in SEC play. Go live that against Stanford and some potential College World Series-type teams and learn through those things early in the year. I think if you had Kelly Harper standing here right now, one of the things she wishes is that they wouldn't have just been able to bankroll wins against some teams. They could have rolled out the ball, turned it over 34 times, and win the game. And they did that a couple of times, frankly, in November and December. Has probably hurt this basketball team the last 2.5-3 weeks because they're just now really hitting some real adversity because they didn't play a tough enough schedule in preseason. It was a schedule she inherited. I can promise you it will look different next year in terms of the preseason strength of schedule.
Not only does Tennessee roll today 23-4, I have it on good authority that the mayor, Knox County Mayor Glenn Jacobs, some people know him as Kane. I met Glenn in the airport doing a lot of traveling, and he introduced himself to, because I knew who he was, introduced himself to him as Glenn. I've always called him Glenn. It always would get me when we'd be flying from here to Dallas or whatever, and there'd be all these people, Kane. And I'd look at him and say, adios, amigo, I'm going to get my bags.
But don't they do that for you when you walk in?
No, not hardly you. But anyway, I have it on good authority today. Glenn Jacobs throwing out the first pitch. He threw one. He painted the black on the outside corner about 93 or 94 miles per hour. How about that?
That's pretty good.
Not only can he choke slam you, not only has he been an outstanding mayor at this point, but he can paint the black at 93 MPH.
Look, he needed a little redemption after losing the wing-eating contest he lost to Trey Smith a week and a half ago.
I wouldn't want any part of Trey Smith in a wing-eating contest.
So I'm just telling you right now, good for him to bounce back. That's a good bounce back for the mayor, okay?
All right, let's take our first break here on The Nation. He's Brent Hubbs. I'm Chris Lowe. We'll be back here at the Texas Roadhouse in Alcoa in just a couple minutes.
3:30.
Texas Roadhouse is your home for legendary food and legendary service. 12 area East Tennessee restaurants. Do you hate to wait? Download the Texas Roadhouse mobile app and get your name added to the wait list before you arrive or order to go. Bring in the whole family to enjoy kids' night at Texas Roadhouse. Visit texasroadhouse.com to find out the details about your favorite location. Texas Roadhouse is your home for hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides and dressings, fresh baked bread, ice-cold beer, and legendary margaritas.
Down the field, Rocky Top, running through the tee. The Big Orange is steeped in tradition. Charlie, Ken, and now me, Kevin Frazier. Frazier's Carpet One is also steeped in tradition. Since 1953, Frazier's has been the name to trust in carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl tile, and anything for your floors. Call us at 546-4850. We'll come to you. We'll make it easy. Everything for the floor from the tradition you trust more, Frazier's.
When Chrissy Ray and Chuck Tunkin founded Mortgage Investors Group in 1989, the idea was simple. Help people realize the American dream. 29 years and 115,000 clients later, Mortgage Investors Group is the number one lender in Tennessee. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to do your mortgage, but it does take a promise. At MIG, it is their joy to keep promises. Go to MIGonline.com and let them get started on your American dream today. MIG is an equal housing lender. Mortgage license 109111.
Right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon of fuel every day. That's 5 cents off every gallon. with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. It's quick and easy to join. Just visit makeitcount.com/radio or download the free app. So start saving today with Make It Count from Marathon. Offer valid only at participating Marathon locations. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
This season, get an assist from the coldest player off the bench, Dos Equis Cerveza. There's simply no substitute. Dos Equis has been crafting its famous beer for as long as the Vols have been shooting hoops. We're talking over a century of game day greatness. That's tradition you can taste. Dos Equis, good from the opening tip.
Distributed across Big Orange Country by Cherokee Distributing, who remind you to please enjoy Dos Equis responsibly.
You're listening to The Nation with Chris Lowe of ESPN.com and Austin Price of VolQuest.com, presented by Mortgage Investors Group.
All right, welcome back into the show. This is The Nation. It's Chris Lowe, and tonight sitting in for Austin Price, his cohort and good friend, my good friend Brent Hubbs. We started this show. How many? We always talk about this, Brent. What year? We need Thaxton and Early and Parks here with us to remind us what year we started this show. I know it was at least... Was it 05, 06?
Yeah, it was somewhere in there.
Right in that range?
It was somewhere in there. It was. It's been a while.
Been a good run. And of course, every time I see you, and of course, every time we have a chance to do this show together, I think of our good friend Edwin Huster. Of course, it was his brainchild. And I still remember the day Edwin coming up to us. We lost Edwin way too young. And said, we got to get a show. We need to start a show with you guys. And boy, it's been a great run, and we miss Edwin, and certainly thank all of our friends over at IMG, Early, and Thaxton, and Parks, and all of them for making this thing happen. And it's I think there's not a day goes by when I do this show that I don't think about Edwin and everything he meant to the Ball Network, the University of Tennessee. But we certainly thank him. I want to remind Tennessee football fans that the 2020 Chevrolet Orange and White game is slated for Saturday, April 18th. Be sure to mark your calendar and join head coach Jeremy Pruitt and the Tennessee Vols at Neyland Stadium. That's the 2020 Chevrolet Orange and White game. Speaking of Jeremy Pruitt, Brent, I don't know that they've announced it, but it looks like he's finally got his staff. I shouldn't say finally, but he's got his staff filled with a couple new additions.
Yeah, and Tracy Rocker left to go to South Carolina. South Carolina has announced Tracy Rocker on a two-year contract over there, making a little over $500,000 a year, about what he was making at Tennessee, pretty similar contract. And Jimmy Brumball has been in Knoxville, and it has been working, and certainly the expectation is that Tennessee will formally announce him at some point as the defensive line coach replacing Tracy Rocker. And Jimmy Brumball knows the SEC. He worked at Kentucky. He's been around multiple places and
played at Auburn.
And I think one of the interesting things about this is when you talk about, and you've talked to enough defensive coordinators out there, Chris, how many times do you hear about the communication and what's needed to marry the front to the back and how important that is? And Derek Ansley is a back-end coach. Jeremy Pruitt knows all the defense, knows all the, you know, the play, but he's more of a back-end guy than he is a front-end guy. And so Derek Ansley worked for 3 years at Kentucky with Jimmy Brumball. So there's some familiarity there. There's a friendship there. There's a lot of trust there. And I think that's why Jimmy Brumball made a ton of sense for Tennessee to fill that spot. Okay, some people ask about a couple of NFL guys. Those guys are going to stay in the NFL. Bo Davis stayed in the NFL. Tosh Lapoy stayed in the NFL. He moved from the Browns to the Falcons. Those guys weren't getting out of the NFL life. They were going to stay in there and not come to the college game. And Jimmy Brumball is a guy that I think Jeremy Pruitt really likes and Derek Ansley was very comfortable with and is very comfortable with. And that's why you're going to see Jimmy Brumball be named as Tennessee's defensive line coach formally at some point here. Then Chris Rump leaves to go to the Houston Texans. And it was clear Chris wanted to be in the NFL because he had interviewed multiple places. You know, the Giants, the Texans, I think even another place or two in the NFL. He had interviewed for jobs. Ends up getting a job with the Texans, takes that job. And then Jeremy Pruitt immediately, over the weekend, decided where he was going to go there. And he's going to hire, and it'll be announced formally, he's hired a guy by the name of Shelton Felton. And Shelton is a Georgia guy. He played high school football in Georgia. He's got ties to the state of Georgia in recruiting. Was at Chattanooga on staff there. Came to Knoxville, Jeremy Pruitt's first year, and did a GA or an analyst job, one of those deals. Wanted to be on the field. Akron called and gave him the opportunity to be on the field, and he was on the field at Akron. And then when this job came open, Jeremy Pruitt knew where he wanted to go. And I think he knew where he wanted to go when Chris Rump interviewed for the Giants, you know, a month ago. Had Chris Rump got the job, he was going to go Shelton Felton. I think that's a guy who really likes his recruiting ability and thinks he's a bright upcoming coach. I think he wanted to get a little bit younger, and I think he wanted to get a little hungrier on the recruiting front. And I think he wanted to get a guy with some, you know, who was going to go after it in recruiting. And I believe Shelton Felton will do that for Jeremy Pruitt. Proof will be in the pudding, Chris, but that's the direction that Jeremy Pruitt's taking it. And he did it quickly. That's how you knew he was prepared for this. This is not a, you know, everybody said, well, who are these guys? Or, you know, he didn't get turned down by all these people. Absolutely not. He knew on Monday morning, and he had him in town on Monday, go to work, because he knew exactly what he was going to do. Because Tracy Rocker's contract was expiring. He knew he wasn't going to be back.
Wasn't a surprise.
And Rump was, you know, looking hard for NFL opportunities. So he knew where he was going to go very quickly.
Yeah, it wasn't a surprise. Jeremy, it, just like the old cliche, ADs have their, you know, their short list in their front drawer. Jeremy knew, A, there was a very good possibility both those guys may be leaving to go elsewhere. And he knew exactly who he wanted to go. Now, you mentioned the magic word there, recruiting. Everybody always wants to know when there are staff changes, how does it impact recruiting? Let me ask you a bigger picture question about this staff and recruiting. As you look at the totality of the staff now in recruiting, how do you think it stacks up? How does what has happened in some of the movement, how does it shake out now on the recruiting front for Jeremy?
Well, Jimmy Brumbaugh recruited okay at Kentucky. I mean, that's not a guy that everybody said, oh, he's the next this, that, or the other in recruiting. But I do think that he's a solid recruiter. I think he's going to work at it, probably work at it a little better than Tracy Rocker worked at it at this point in Tracy Rocker's career. You know, the question around Tracy Rocker has always been his ability to recruit and his desire to recruit to some degree. And so I think you're making an upgrade there. And again, I think with the loss of Kevin Scherer and his Georgia ties, I think you want to continue to recruit in Georgia, so you needed some Georgia ties there. You bring in Shelton Felton, who's got some ties. Now, he's got to go close, and he's got to prove he can do it, but I do believe he's going to work those relationships, and I think he will be, in time, an effective recruiter. And I think he'll get Tennessee into the position with some guys, and we'll see if, as a staff, they can close it. Then you bring in Jay Graham, right. And I think the hire of Jay Graham is important because I think Jay's ability to go recruit in North Carolina, I think he has ties in Virginia in recruiting that Tennessee hasn't had. I think those two areas are going to be, you know, Jay's going to have a chance to be more effective. He was not a bad recruiter at A&M, but, Chris, I think it was a little bit too far west of where his comfort level and where his relationships were, okay? Look, I know kids go international. They go nationally, wherever these days. I do think it's hard to say, hey, let's go to, if you're A&M, let's go to Virginia Beach and get football players when you got everything you got in the state of Texas there and on the West Coast, even going west. So I think moving him back closer to the east gets Jay closer to the ties, and I think that can make him a better recruiter.
I don't know if there's any question that it was – a priority of Jeremy Pruitt's to bring in somebody at that position who could go help them in North Carolina, whether it was Jay Graham, whether it was Montario Hardesty, people who played in that state, who have ties and connections in that state, who have recruited before in that state. And I don't think it's any coincidence. When Tennessee's been at its best over the years, and I know I'm showing my age, going back whether it's 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, go look at the roster and look at the players from North Carolina who were key figures on the roster for those teams.
Well, I mean, hey, I'll do you one better than that. Compare those guys from North Carolina to the number of players who have made significant major impacts in middle to South Florida. Tennessee's been much more successful, productive, had much more production out of North Carolina. Tennessee should never get out of North Carolina.
And really, they you could say never, the, both Carolinas,
yeah.
really.
Now, South Carolina's harder.
Okay? Because no of what question. Dabo's done, right. and Muschamp set up a really nice recruiting operation there. And you got Georgia coming in there. I agree. North Carolina, to me, is the key.
Well, the thing about North Carolina that you look at is if you trace North Carolina the last 15 years, 20 years, the best players in North Carolina have not stayed home.
Nope.
And Tennessee, and I think it's part of the reason why Tennessee struggled the last 10 years the way they have not capitalized on the opportunity to go get the better players in North Carolina who are leaving. When you look at the top 10 players in North Carolina, on average, I would say 70% of those guys are leaving state. And Tennessee hadn't got enough of them the last 10 years. Maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe it's not. Tennessee's not been very good the last 10 years. They have not gone and gotten some of the players in North Carolina and not tried to get right. some of the players in North Carolina.
I still remember the day, and again, showing my age, I remember Tennessee going in and getting Jay Graham out of North Carolina. What a big deal that was. And that was before the internet, before, you know, you had, you know, recruiting was still being covered in newspapers, and it got out that afternoon that he'd committed, you know, had signed or had committed to Tennessee. And Jay, and having worked up in that area, my first job out of college was Concord, North Carolina. And I always,
where Jay's
I,
from?
I still kid Jay. Jay's actually from Kannapolis, North Carolina, but played at Concord High School. I still haven't gotten a really good explanation for him on how that went down, how all shook out. But I remember vividly him announcing or committing, what have you, to Tennessee, and what a huge deal that was. What a huge coup that was for Tennessee to get in.
Well, what I remember about his recruitment, and I don't remember where the address of the restaurant was, he did his deal at a steakhouse. And basically, the steakhouse basically turned it into the Jay Graham party, is what it turned into there in Kannapolis/Concord, whatever the address actually was there. But that's where he committed at. And that was a big deal. You know, as you mentioned, there was nobody live. But there were people, there were Knoxville media people who went to that press conference to cover it. And, you know, and it started with Heath Shuler, and it carried on into the Carolinas. And you're exactly right. Jay Graham was a big deal. And we know why, because he was the Alabama killer when he was at Tennessee.
He sure
but,
was.
But it wasn't just those two runs. Jay was, I mean, Ohio State game. Jay was a really good football player.
He showed up big in big games.
He did.
Jay Graham did.
And I think sometimes you have to be careful, Chris, about having, you know, everybody's a former player on your staff. You know, the thing I like about the hire of Jay Graham is twofold. One, he is a former player who understands Tennessee. He understands coming across the mountain to play for Tennessee, so it should help him in recruiting. But Jay's also been here as a coach and understands how to recruit here, even though he only did it for a year, the challenges of recruiting to Tennessee versus just being a guy who decided to play here when Tennessee was good.
And he's coached and recruited in this footprint, going all the way back to South Carolina. He coached a guy by the name of Marcus Lattimore, who was a pretty decent running back. He's all right, a little bit late for a break. Let's go ahead and take our second break right here on The Nation. We're at the Texas Roadhouse in Alcoa. We'll be back with you in just a couple minutes. Hey, fans, for the best selection of Big Orange merchandise, Touchdown at Hound Dogs in West Knoxville. Locally owned and operated, Hound Dogs is your one-stop shop for all things Big Orange. To find out more, text HD Radio to 64600. That's HD Radio to 64600. When it's time to get geared up for game day, just neck Hound Dogs.
This is Dr. Colby Stewart with Tennessee LASIK. I've had the privilege of performing over 22,000 LASIK procedures in my career. That's more than a capacity crowd at Thompson Bowling Arena. Do you want to improve your vision? Are you tired of wearing contact lenses and glasses? Visit tnlasik.com or call 966-9182 to schedule your free consultation today. Tennessee LASIK wants to help you see the Vols in 2020.
Mortgage Investors Group is the number one residential mortgage lender in the state because they offer superior customer service, and their mortgage professionals take pride in finding solutions personalized for you. As your home team lender, the local loan officers at MIG are experts in the market. Whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance, Mortgage Investors Group offers a winning game plan. To get pre-qualified or for information about our locations across Tennessee, visit migonline.com. Equal housing lender, license 109111.
Hey, Tennessee fans, there's a new player in town. Your favorite Blue Bunny ice cream is now available in Neyland Stadium and at Thompson Bowling Arena. It's time to sack your sweet tooth with Blue Bunny. Made in the ice cream capital of the world, Blue Bunny offers more than 500 varieties of ice cream and novelties. Look for your favorite Blue Bunny products at participating retailers across the state or at concession stands inside Neyland Stadium and Thompson Bowling Arena. Sack your sweet tooth with Blue Bunny.
The world's most refreshing beer is now available at Thompson Bowling Arena. This season, enjoy Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light on Rocky Top. So when the action on the court heats up, Coors Light is there to cool things down. Because it's made to chill. Grab the beer that supports the Vols. Ice cold Coors Light. Visit CherokeeDistributing.com to register for a chance to win a Coors Light Yeti Tundra. Must be 21 to win. Contest ends March 6th. Celebrate responsibly.
This is The Nation, presented by Mortgage Investors Group and hosted on location by Texas Roadhouse. Now, back to Chris and Austin.
All right, we're back here on The Nation. I'm Chris Lowe with Brent Hubbs sitting in tonight. We brought in the heavy artillery tonight as Austin Price is, I think he's in the Caribbean somewhere with the Price ladies. But it's good to have Brent here with us as we're at the Texas Roadhouse in Alcoa. This will actually be our last Sunday here in Alcoa. We will shift over to the Turkey Creek location of Texas Roadhouse next Sunday. Certainly miss our friends here. Always treat us well here at Alcoa. And looking forward to seeing our good friends over at the Turkey Creek location. Talked about the outset of the show, the Rick Barnes Tennessee basketball team falls a tough loss at South Carolina, 63-61 in a game that Tennessee doesn't make the postseason. They may well look back on that game as one that really hurt, one that they needed. Had a chance. South Carolina's playing good basketball right now, but had a chance to win and could not finish the game. Tennessee comes back home on Tuesday to play Vanderbilt in an absolute must-win if they want to have any postseason aspirations. That's a 6:30 Eastern time start on the SEC Network, and then next Saturday, Rick Barnes and the Vols go to Auburn, loveliest little village on the – can you say loveliest little village on the plains when you talk about basketball, or is that just a football reference?
I don't know. That's a great environment down there that they've created
with the stadium. And perfect size of the arena.
They've done a nice job there. Now, that's an Auburn team that I don't want to say is fading because that's unfair, but that to go to Missouri and lose that game – you were talking about this before the show started. It's a really hard league.
It's been a bizarre league. Just about the time you think, all right, these two or three teams are the best, and then right here's tier two, these two or three teams right behind them. They're, to me, I think Kentucky will end up being the best team. I think they're going to get better. I certainly wouldn't rule out Bruce Pearl and Auburn because they have won a lot of close games this season. But, Brent, is it just me? Is there about eight teams in this league are about exactly the same? On any given night, you know, they can be really, you know, pretty good, and then the next night just average to below average.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably a fair way to sum it up. Is you know, LSU has been living and getting away with winning a bunch of close games, and that seems to be fading on them a little bit right now. They haven't had the ability to win some of those games. That was a tough week for them. It's a team that's hard to figure out. I mean, Georgia's got the best individual player in the league, and that's a bad basketball team.
Right.
They're really, really bad.
And that's a loss for Tennessee that's going to really look bad at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they've not been very good. I mean, Florida may be the most talented team in the league. But maybe the
biggest disappointment.
Oh, no question. I think they're by far the biggest disappointment in the league with where they are right now. And So I don't know. I mean, I think four teams maybe in the NCAA tournament. I don't really see any more than that.
It's stretching. If you went more, it'd have to be someone winning the tournament that you didn't see winning.
I think so. I mean, Kentucky's going to get in. I think Auburn's going to be in. LSU's going to be in. You know, and then is Mississippi State? Could South Carolina jump up there and be a team? I mean, it's really going to be hard to see them getting more than four teams, and they may not get four teams in the league. I tell you what, this is a great year. Great year for some mid-major teams to potentially get an at-large bid. So many years it's been all about, you know, you got to win your conference tournament as a mid-major. If you don't win your conference tournament as a mid-major, you're out. There may be some mid-major sneak in as an at-large. I think the other thing to watch, too, from the Big Ten, how many do they get? Because there may be 10 to 12 teams worthy of a tournament bid there.
There's a ton in the Big Ten. I tell you, he's done a great job. And no surprise, is our good friend Steve Forbes and Jason Shea up at East Tennessee State. They've got a really good basketball team now. I think they've still probably got to win their conference tournament to get in. But, you know, again, who knows? They've and I can't say enough about what Steve and Jason, Brooke Savage, another one, Vol fans certainly know him well, have done in building that program back to being one of the best teams in that league year in and year out. And the way they've done it, you know, to leave here the way they did, they went JUCO route. Steve was at Wichita State. You know, no pointing fingers, just, you know, picked themselves up off the deck, and they've gone there to East Tennessee State and have done an exceptional job. Steve and Jason, both great people and great basketball coaches, and done it the right way. All right, this is AP's favorite part of the show right here, the marathon question of the week. So wherever he is on his yacht in the Caribbean, he's probably got his phone out right now.
You think he's listening?
Oh, he's no question. Austin Price, the only thing Austin Price loves more than the marathon question of the week is playing golf, especially when it's free golf.
Yeah, or a fast pass at Disney.
Okay, fast pass at Disney. Discover how a full tank of freedom from Marathon will take you wherever you go. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. We talked about North Carolina and what a fertile recruiting ground that had been for Tennessee over the years, especially when Tennessee's been at its best. Brent, I'm going to put you on the spot.
All right.
Over the years, and I know, and we might get some fans involved here in the last segment on this, because invariably when you do this, people are going to say, well, you forgot about this guy or that guy. So, yes, you can't do this with everybody. But if you were naming your Mount Rushmore right now of Tennessee football players, four Tennessee football players from the state of North Carolina, give me your four.
Heath Shuler.
All right.
Leonard Little. Carl Pickens. And then it gets interesting. Is it Haskell Standback?
That's a good one.
Jimmy Streeter. The great late Mickey Marvin was a fabulous player here. Montario Hardesty had a great year, suffered injuries. Had he not been hurt, I think it would have been a great player. Sean Bryson, the most underrated player, an undervalued player by fans of the 98 National Championship.
I still go back to the fact that Sean Bryson played. How many years did he play in the NFL? Eight, nine,
yeah, close
ten.
To a decade.
And played, and for a lot of those years, played running back.
Mm-hmm.
But he sacrificed. To me, Sean Bryson was, in a lot of ways, the epitome of what that team was about now. A very talented football team, obviously. But sacrificed for the good of the team and played fullback. Because you had a couple guys named Jamal Lewis and Travis Henry and Travis Stevens, who were pretty good tailbacks. Sean Bryson moved up to fullback and sacrificed for the team. But who were your first two? You said Shuler?
Shuler's on it. He's a laydown.
All right.
Leonard Little's a laydown.
Okay.
That's two of the biggest difference makers I ever watched play.
I agree.
Carl Pickens has got to be on there.
Carl Easy Pickens.
Here's another one. Conrad Graham.
Ooh, there's another good one.
Haskell Standback, Conrad Graham, Jimmy Streeter. Okay, are all guys nobody?
Jimmy Streeter, the late Jimmy Streeter, Silva Streak from Silva, North Carolina.
So, you know, I think those three. Jay Graham, I've not even mentioned, has got to be in that conversation. Okay, so there's four guys in the conversation for the four spot. Shane Burton was a really nice player at Tennessee from over in Catawba, North Carolina, is where he's from. Spent a lot of really good players.
Omar Gaither.
Omar Gaither.
Myers Park, North Carolina. Sorry, I'm going to take it a step further. All right. You mentioned the names. Let's do numbers. Leonard Little, what was his number?
Number one.
All right. Heath Shuler.
21.
Carl Pickens.
15.
Wow, pretty good. Pretty good. Jimmy Streeter.
Seven?
Not six.
Six, not seven.
You know who
six.
We need with this is Mike Keith.
Oh, it was. He
Mike Keith is a computer
first
when it comes
of all,
to numbers.
He would have ran down everybody's hometown, the high school they played at, and would have known all of their numbers
and
the years that they played.
All right, let's go ahead and take our final break here on the Nation. Good stuff, Brent Hubbs. I'm Chris Lowe. We'll be back here at the Texas Roadhouse in just a minute. Hey, fans, this season, enjoy the refreshing taste of Coors Light. Dos Equis Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. It's made to chill. And Dos Equis, the official beer sponsor of the college football playoff. Both these great brands distributed across the Volunteer State by Cherokee Distributing. Celebrate responsibly, and 21 means 21.
There's something out there for you and me. Fueling the American spirit.
When Chrissy Ray and Chuck Tunkin founded Mortgage Investors Group in 1989, the idea was simple. Help people realize the American dream. 29 years and 115,000 clients later, Mortgage Investors Group is the number one lender in Tennessee. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to do your mortgage, but it does take a promise. At MIG, it is their joy to keep promises. Go to MIGonline.com and let them get started on your American dream today. MIG is an equal housing lender. Mortgage license 109111.
When it comes to the Big Orange, you want the score to be ahead at the end of the game. The same is true in flooring. That's why you want to trust Frazier's Carpet One. Whether it's carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl tile, or more, with Frazier's, the score will always be ahead and in your favor. So give us a call at 546-4850. Everything for the floor, from the score you trust more, Frazier's.
This season, get an assist from the coldest player off the bench, Dos Equis Cerveza. There's simply no substitute. Dos Equis has been crafting its famous beer for as long as the Vols have been shooting hoops. We're talking over a century of game day greatness. That's tradition you can taste. Dos Equis, good from the opening tip.
Distributed across Big Orange Country by Cherokee Distributing, who remind you to please enjoy Dos Equis responsibly.
This is The Nation, presented by Mortgage Investors Group and hosted by Texas Roadhouse. Now, back to Chris and Austin.
Well, I hope it's been a great Sunday for you, wherever you're listening. Tonight on The Nation, thank you for spending part of your Sunday with us. I'm Chris Lowe with Brent Hubbs sitting in. Well, I tell you what, you talk about top relievers. Brent Hubbs and Mariano Rivera.
I'm a middle.
The Mariano Rivera of innings. The Nation.
I eat innings in middle relief is what I do.
All right, we did something last segment. Had some fun with the marathon question of the week. We put Brent on the spot and asked him if he were making or creating a Mount Rushmore of the best Tennessee football players from the state of North Carolina. And he had three, and I agree with him, Brent, three layups. Heath Shuler, Carl Pickens, and Leonard Little in no particular order. The fourth one, you could go a lot of different ranges with that because there's so many great players. If you want to call in, let's throw out the number, 1-800-688-VOLS. If you want to call in and give us who you think your fourth member would be, again, that's 1-800-688-VOLS here in this last segment of the show, and give us who you think your fourth member would be. And, again, that would be the best football player from the state of North Carolina to play football at Tennessee. A lot of possibilities.
So you're not going to argue with me on Pickens,
no.
Shuler, or Little?
They would definitely be on my Mount Rushmore. A lot of possibilities. Jimmy Streeter from Silva, North Carolina. I still remember it. My most vivid memory of Jimmy is when Notre Dame came into Neyland Stadium. I guess it was 79. And him just having a huge game and beating the Fighting Irish. Again, that's, I'm showing my age. That's 1979. But the Silva streak is what they call it. But again, 1-800-688-VOLS, V-O-L-S, if you want to sort of weigh in on who your fourth member of that Mount Rushmore would be. Brent, as we look ahead a little bit to spring football practice for Tennessee, a couple injuries, some guys not going to be available or going to be limited. That's always the case, no matter where you are, really, across college football. But who are some guys that maybe were not focal parts of the team for different reasons, guys that maybe you will look at or will be interested in watching play this spring to see if they can become a bigger part, and maybe guys that Tennessee needs to become a bigger part of this football team that this will be a big opportunity for this spring?
That's a great question. I think when you look at this team, one thing that jumps out is what are they going to do at safety? I like Jalen McCullough, who came on as the season went along. I think Jalen McCullough is going to be one of the starters at safety. I think who is that other starter going to be at safety? And I think that's wide open because Nigel Warrior played so many snaps a year ago. So Trayvon Flowers is the guy who, you talk to anybody on this coaching staff, they love his ability. They love everything about him. He's not been able to stay healthy. Broken leg, broken collarbone in two seasons at Tennessee. That's a guy who needs to have a good spring and needs to stay healthy because he can go win that job. But is it somebody like a Tyus Fields who might win that safety spot. I think you look at good teams in college football on defense, it's what do you do between the hash marks on defense from the front to the back. How are you at the nose tackle and the defensive tackle position, your middle linebacker play, your safety play? I think Tennessee's got to get that answer for Nigel Warrior. Those are a couple of guys who I think have real opportunities. Who's going to play opposite of Henry T? Crouch is going to be out for spring with the shoulder. So, hey, J.J. Peterson, for everybody asking about J.J. Peterson right. every week, now or never for J.J. Peterson, kind of. This is your opportunity. So I think those are a couple guys on defense that jump out at you. Who's going to replace Daryl Taylor? DeAndre Johnson? Go time if you're going to go. Can Roman Harrison take that step for Tennessee as an edge guy? We'll have to wait and see what happens with that. Wanya Morris is going to be out for spring. What do they do at left tackle? Jameer Johnson? Now or never for you. I think the other position, too, is tight end, Chris. You got Austin Pope, and then who else? Where does somebody else fall into that? And I think the receiver spot, D'Angelo Gibbs, everybody's excited about, didn't play a year ago. And then they'll have some freshman help at that spot.
Yeah, you never want to have anybody out in the spring. You mentioned Morris being out. But I tell you what, it gives other guys, and one of the things I like best about this team potentially is I think they're going to have some depth. They're going to have some competition in the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Some guys have played, some guys are hungry and want to prove what they can do. That's the part, I know I'm old school, whatever you want to call it. You still win up front, and rarely do you get through a football season, Brent, with just five guys playing the offensive line.
No, you don't. And so where's Jerome Carvin? What does he do? This is a big spring for him, big opportunity. Can he take advantage of the opportunity? What's going to happen to him? K'Ron Calvert, another opportunity there. There's some guys that are going to be in there that'll have chances. Of course, everybody wants to know, is Cade Mays going to win his appeal? How much does Trey Smith do? But you got to continue that development there. How much does Emmett Gooden do in the spring? Lots of questions there. The good news is, as you mentioned, they bring back bodies on both sides of the ball, which they haven't had the last 2 years.
Brent Hubbs, it's been great catching back up with you tonight, and we'll catch up with Austin Price as he returns from the Caribbean next week right here on The Nation. We'll be at Turkey Creek location in Alcoa. Texas Roadhouse, Turkey Creek location next week. So long, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next Sunday.
Listening to The Nation with Chris Lowe of ESPN.com and Austin Price of Rivals and VolQuest.com. Presented by Mortgage Investors Group and hosted by Texas Roadhouse.
Sponsored by Mortgage Investors Group, celebrating 30 years and the number one lender in the state of Tennessee. Learn more at MIGOnline.com. By Texas Roadhouse, your home for legendary food and legendary service. 12 area East Tennessee restaurants. By Marathon. Discover how a full tank of freedom from Marathon will take you wherever you go. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. By Tennessee LASIK Associates, proud supporter of the Tennessee Volunteers. See the difference with Tennessee LASIK. By Blue Bunny Ice Cream, available in Neyland Stadium and Thompson Bowling Arena. And by Dos Equis, the official beer sponsor of the college football playoff. Keep it interesante and please enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. Distributed across the Volunteer State by Cherokee Distributing. The Nation is also brought to you by
Join us again next Sunday across the Volunteer State for more news on college sports and the SEC. This is The Nation, signing off.